This is part two of the conversation that we are having with Levers.fi founder Zahir. If you don't know about Levers.fi, it's a website you can use to track down salaries for different companies. You can also use their resume writing or negotiation services if you are planning to switch your job. In part one, we discussed resume tips. In part two, which is this video, we'll be talking about negotiation tips, so such as, let's say if you have multiple offers, how do you negotiate? Or even if you have in general any offer, how do you get the maximum salary out of it? Or how the total compensation is calculated, different components such as base salary, RSUs, performance bonus, joining bonus, and so on. These things get really complicated. So we'll be covering all those topics. The exit questions are discussed, or rather mentioned, in the video description below. So make sure you watch till the end. Let's get started. So once again, Zahir, thanks for spending time for this conversation. Today, we are going to talk about negotiation tips. And this is something that I think you guys are expert on. So let's first, before we begin the question from viewers, I want to discuss what kind of services you provide on Levers.fi, because I think you provide some kind of negotiation service as well, correct?
Yeah, so we help people negotiate their job offers and get them an increase, basically a salary increase. And not just salary, but bonus and equity and all of that. So we have a team of about 20 coaches who are all current and former recruiters. So we have recruiters from Google, Amazon, Facebook, you know, a lot of the larger companies and even many small companies, startups as well. And they basically are the ones that will be helping you negotiate a higher offer. They've actually been on the other side of the table. So they've negotiated for the companies, and now they're helping people like you essentially negotiate a higher offer and a pay increase. So we've had some amazing results. We've seen people, our average kind of increase is about $20,000. And we've even done, $1 million plus increases. We've done 100K plus increases. And this is all per year numbers that I'm citing. So, the results are pretty insane. And I think it's a very high ROI, a return on investment. So, we charge anywhere between $300 to a few thousand, just depending on seniority. But generally, we're able to get people multiples of in terms of a return on that investment.
Very good. Usually, I've seen like computer engineers and data scientists, like they're good in their technical work, but they're not good in negotiation too much. So I think taking this kind of service could be useful. So we'll provide a link of Levers.fi, the website which Zahir founded. And we'll provide also the link of the negotiation services. So if you're planning to take services, click on that link. We'll go into the questions now. Subham Agarwal is asking, what to say when HR says we have lower budget or others having more experience are getting less than what you are demanding? So here, Subham is talking about a situation where you get a job offer and you are negotiating a salary with an HR, and HR is saying, no, we can't pay you this much because we have low budget. And, if they give that kind of argument, like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. So in any negotiation, right, the way what you need in a negotiation is leverage, right? So you need something to work against or the company and to work for you. So the highest form of leverage in any job negotiation is if you have another offer. So if you can get another offer from another company that's paying more, that's the ideal scenario, because you're able to use that and you can say, hey, I have another offer that's better. Can you match this offer? So in any negotiation, you need to think about kind of leverage and essentially like the best alternative to the current offer or option that you have. And so, one other form of leverage is simply walking away from the offer, saying, I'm not willing to take this if you can't meet this criteria, right, or this salary. Another form of leverage is saying that essentially you're willing to take the offer and you're willing to sign today, basically, if you can meet this salary bar. So there's multiple options here. One is get another offer. Second is be willing to walk away. And the third is be willing to sign right away. right? So kind of the flip side, be willing to sign right away if you can, if the company can match some certain offer numbers. And so, you know, I would, in any negotiation situation, we're always looking for leverage. And, you know, it's kind of a generic answer, but I think it applies to every negotiation situation. You need to get some form of leverage because, you know, companies won't magically give you more money just because, you know, they need something to show, right? To when they go back to the hiring manager or whatever, you need some reason to increase the offer, right? And so I talked about the two of the reasons require you to do some more work. So having another offer or be willing to walk away, that puts pressure on you to have to go and find another offer or be willing to step away from the job. But the third option, which is be willing to sign the offer immediately, is something that you can do even if you don't have, you know, any other option.
Okay. I think those are three very useful practical tips. So Supam, just think about those three things. Souvik Chatterjee is asking, sometimes you get an offer as a fresher. Let's say this is your first job as a software engineer or a data scientist, but you're not really happy with the salary. Now you have fear that if you start negotiating, you might lose that job. And, you know, if you ask for more, they won't get the job. And someone else who is happy with lesser salary may get hired. So they don't really ask for it, but they are not utterly happy about their package either. So what should be done at that time?
Yeah, so, I mean, to be honest, as a freshman, you don't have as much leverage negotiating. Mm-hmm. That said, I think it goes back to the main three principles that I set out, right? Mm-hmm. Have an alternative. And if you don't have an alternative, then be willing to, for example, sign mm-hmm. right away or be willing to walk away, right? The same principles apply for every negotiation. What is your form of leverage? Unless you have leverage, you won't be able to tangibly increase the offer in kind of a meaningful way. And so, you know, I would suggest kind of getting another offer if possible. But that said, negotiating new grad offers or fresher offers tend to be much harder anyways. And so I would kind of set your expectations accordingly as well. That, hey, maybe for the first job that you get, you might not be able to negotiate as highly, but hopefully, you know, for a subsequent job, you know, a year, 2 years later, once you have more experience, you'll be able to negotiate a higher compensation. And you'll also have kind of a track record or experience that that you can use to help convince companies that, hey, I deserve more because this is kind of the experience that I have in the past.
Or as a freshman, if you're joining, maybe join with that salary, but perform really well, you know, and then once right. you have a good performance, maybe then you ask for a salary raise. Now, big companies, they have a fixed cycle of appraisal. Let's say they do it once a year, but I have seen some second or third tier companies where they can just give, you know, like a salary hike at random. So if you have right. performed really well, let's say during your 6 months, 8 months, and then maybe you are in a better position to say that, look, 6 months back when I accepted your offer, I was really not happy. So can we do something about it? And most of the time, you will get a salary hike, you know, if the manager, your management is happy with your performance.
Right.
Kasan Ahmed is asking, how total compensation is calculated? If it's a small private company, then all you get is a salary and maybe performance bonus, but things change when it goes to stock options and things like that. So he wants to know about that. So he means like base salary plus signing bonus plus stocks and how much they vary from startup to a FANG companies. Lastly, how much freshers should expect the total compensation in the field of data science? I think we can cover both data science and computer engineering. And let's talk about some of the salaries which are being offered as of 2021. Especially in FANG companies, because Zahir, you live in Silicon Valley, you know a lot right. about FANG companies. So let's talk about some of the salary ranges and also how total compensation is calculated. Let's talk about different components.
Right. Yeah. So let's start with total compensation. Right. So In terms of the different components, the first one is obviously base salary. So this is kind of the fixed amount that you're promised and you're guaranteed throughout the year. The second component is a bonus. And even within bonus, there's a lot of different types of bonuses. So you can have a performance bonus, which is pretty standard. That means each year you're eligible for some amount of performance bonus. Companies will sometimes tell you, okay, you're eligible for 20% of your base salary as a performance bonus. So if you perform well, then you'll get earned up to 20% as a bonus, basically, throughout the year. Now, another bonus is essentially a sign-on bonus. So this is when you sign the offer, you get a one-time bonus. And this can be also either cash or equity. So you can get, like, for example, 50K sign-on bonus, which means that you'll get 50K when you sign the offer. Sometimes they even have a vesting schedule. So you might get this signing bonus over the course of a year or 2 years, depending on what it is, right?
They don't want person to get 50K as a signing bonus and leave next month, right?
Right, exactly. And even if the company gives the signing bonus right away, typically there's clauses in there that say that you have to stay for a year. Otherwise, you have to pay that bonus back.
I see.
Yeah, so you have to be careful with that. Another thing is you can get sign-on equity, which is essentially the same as a bonus, except instead of cash, they're giving it as equity. So they're giving shares or RSUs. Now, the last and most important form of compensation, I think, is equity, which is, you can be given, for larger companies, this would be like RSUs. For smaller companies, you're getting options. So like ISOs or NSOs, things like that. Now, it can get pretty complex, but the general gist of it is that you're getting some percentage or some shares in the company. And, you know, they're worth something. For larger companies, it's pretty liquid, so which means that you can sell it right away. And in the stock market and get the cash value quickly. For startups, it's a bit harder to liquidate. And depending on the size of the company, it might be hard to value as well, because usually as startups, it's a bit harder to figure out whether that company is going to be successful or not successful. And that's where the equity comes down to. So these are all the different components, and all of them factor into your total compensation per year. You always want to take a look at the per year value. That's usually what, at least within the US, well, most companies and most people are look at when they're evaluating the compensation, right? So let's say you have 100K base salary, 50K sign-on bonus for the first year, and then you have 100K equity that vests over 4 years. So the equity component would be 25K per year, because it's 25% per year. And then you have your base salary, which is 100K. So that's 125K. And then some people factor in bonus, sign-on bonus or not. It just depends. For some companies like Amazon, they have bonus kind of, they have an interesting bonus schedule where it's they give you your bonus over the course of multiple years. So you'll get like a first year and a second year bonus. And so a lot of people tend to include that as part of total compensation. So in this case, let's say we include it, let's say it's 50K in the first year, then, we said 125K for the first component and then 50K for this sign-on bonus. So we're looking at 175K per year, total compensation. I'll pause there if you have anything else to add on the...
Yeah, so the question I have is, let's say if I'm joining Amazon, they're giving me $100,000 equity component, which vests over 4 years. So every year I can sell $25,000 worth of Amazon stocks. So when I'm given that $100,000 equity at the beginning, is it as per the stock price at that time, or is it something else?
Yeah. So the equity, you will get your shares for the price of the stock at that time when you join, and they will actually specify in the offer letter exactly when the price is determined. So usually it's, for example, like the average price of the month that you join, or it can be the average price of the quarter that you join or something like that. And so, they'll specify what price you lock in your shares at. And the nice thing about that is, let's say in 2-3 years, the stock goes up by 50%, then the amount of equity that you have, or the value of that equity that you have, has also gone up 50%, right? And so when you get those shares, you're actually getting a much larger amount than what you probably initially thought you were going to get.
Got it. Yeah, usually like tech stock have been just going up and up.
Right.
They never go down.
Yeah.
So most likely you get more than what you're promised. So the second aspect of this question was, let's talk about the current market. As of 2021, August, when this video is recorded, what are some of the salary levels? So let's first talk about, if you're joining as a software engineer in one of the FANG companies, you know, junior, freshman, what kind of salary, what kind of total compensation you can get? And the second aspect of this question is, if you join as an experienced developer, let's say 5 to 10 years, what are some of the ranges?
Yeah, so especially at FANG companies, the ranges are quite high. For first year kind of out of college, you're looking at roughly $150,000 per year in total compensation. Now, that's on average. Some companies are lower, some companies are higher, just depending on the company, right? Let's say the second level, so roughly 2 to 5 years of experience, you're looking at closer to $220,000 total compensation. This is all US dollars, by the way. And so, you know, there's a pretty large jump from, you know, first level to second level of compensation. Now, the third level of at the company, that's when things go up even more significantly. And so for the third level compensation, which generally aligns to kind of 4 years of experience to kind of 10 years plus of experience, then you're looking at closer to $300,000, sometimes even $400,000 per year in compensation. And, you know, some companies, just depending, the third level is a much wider band. So you have people in the third level that might have 5 years of experience. You might have people that are 10 years of experience or even 15 years of experience. And so the rate, the band of compensation also tends to be much larger. So, you know, it can go from, you know, anywhere from 200K all the way up to like 500K even in terms of compensation band. That's just to give you a rough idea of what the comp is looking like at FANG within the US today.
Got it. And as you rightly said, the range here is quite diverse. Let's say if you're joining a machine learning team at Google or Facebook, it can go up to $1 million.
Right.
So it depends on your skill set as well. And if you want to know more about these levels, go to levels.fyi, where you can go to individual company and there are like this different levels like L1, L2. Do you want to talk about these levels? I think different companies have different notion, right? Like some companies use level one, level two, and some. Do you want to talk about this terminology a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. So leveling is basically the career ladder at a company. Right. So let's say when you join a company out of college, you get usually placed at the first level. So let's say it's called Software Engineer 1. Right. And then let's say you get promoted to Software Engineer 2. And, you know, let's say if you get promoted again, you get promoted to Software Engineer 3. Right. So now every company calls it something different. So at Google, for example, you start out maybe as like L3, and then you get promoted to L4 and then L5. Right. Now at Microsoft, they start off at, I think, I don't know, 55 or something like that. And then you get promoted to a 56 and then a 57. And then their levels go all the way into like even the 60s and I think even the 70s. And some companies don't even have a numbering system. They just call it, you know, software engineer, senior engineer, staff engineer, and so on, right? And so every company calls it something different. And that's kind of exactly what Levels.fyi was initially built to solve, is helping people compare the career ladders across different companies. So if you're a software engineer to, you know, one company, how do you know what's the equivalent level at, you know, Google or Facebook or whatever other company? Because you don't know what the leveling scheme is or what they call those levels, right? And so if you go to levels.fyi, you can see the mapping of how different companies compare and what the levels at one company compared to at another company.
Very good. That was pretty insightful. Do you have any ideas on salaries in Indian market? Many of my viewers are from India. If not, we can just point them to a link because levels.fyi covers a lot of data in Indian market as well.
Right. Yeah. I don't have it. I don't know the numbers offhand, but I'll send over the link and we can share that in the description. But yeah, definitely check out. We have numbers for India on there. definitely check those out. And actually, we also highly suggest and recommend folks to contribute their information. The more people that contribute your information, the more people visit the site and find it interesting, and more people also contribute their own information. And so it's kind of a cycle. If you contribute your information, the site becomes more interesting, and other people, because they find it interesting, are willing to contribute more. So it's really a cycle, and I encourage everyone that's watching to go in and add your salary as well.
Yep, and your data is anonymous, so don't worry. It won't show in public that person accessing this much. Don't worry of that about that. I say you that this is a very trustworthy platform. So please contribute as much as you can on Layworks.fyi so that others can benefit and eventually you can also benefit. Suraj Acharya is asking, how to handle a situation where you end up with multiple job offers? You have five job offers. I think the way we got in connection is because my friend, he cracked like 10 job offers. So we discuss in that video, we discuss some of these tips, but I want to hear your thoughts. Let's say you have 4 or 5 offers, and that too from big companies, and now you're really confused which company to join. So how to handle that situation?
I talked about the number one form of leverage that you can have in a negotiation is having competing offers, right? Having multiple job offers. And so you can use these offers kind of and play them against each other. So you can go to the first company and say, hey, I have an offer from whatever the max offer that you have. Say, I have an offer from, another company, which is X dollars. Are you willing to match that offer, right? Or go above that offer, right? You can say, are you willing to make your offer, X plus 30K or something like that, right? Or 20K, whatever it is. And then if they agree, again, you have leverage because now you have multiple offers. The company knows that you have multiple options. And so they're going to say, okay, if we want to hire this person, we have to do something better. We have to pay more, right? And let's say the company comes back and agrees to do, X plus 30K or whatever. Now you can go back to that first company and say, hey, I have another offer, which is this much, right? And now that company has to match the offer that you have or exceed that offer, right? And you can do the same thing with every company. I would suggest figuring out which companies that you're most interested in. So typically, even if someone has 5+ offers, they know that they only want to join maybe 1 or 2 companies, right? So figure out which ones you're most passionate about. And based on that, negotiate most heavily for those 2 companies, because it's going to take a bit of work, right, to do it for every single company. So I would say focus your efforts on those, 2 or 3 companies that you're most interested in.
And salary and financial rewards is, of course, a very important factor. But I always say that you need to look into the kind of work you're getting. Will you be happy in that company? How about the culture? How about the other benefits? Sometimes companies have a great, let's say work from home policy. Flexibility is awesome. Mm-hmm. Your health insurance, nowadays many companies have this unlimited vacation days. So you need to factor in all those factors as well. It's not just about money. And the most important thing is, of course, are you happy? Is this what you want to do? The kind of work you're getting during the interviewing process, you would have talked to 7 to 8 people already. Do you like working with those people? You will get some sense of company's culture by talking with those interviewers. So please factor in all those factors and make a very mindful decision. Ayush Mittal is asking how to get max out of the salary. I think we have covered, unless you have anything to add, we can probably skip over to the next question. All right. Abhijit is asking, which is better, starting your career in a big company with average salary or with a small company with good salary?
I think it's a pretty personal decision, right? Depends on what you want to do. And I wouldn't say salary is the factor because we just talked about how you can negotiate your salary and how you can get one company to potentially match another company's offer in terms of salary. So one is I would try to bring the offers as close as possible to each other. Hopefully they're both great offers. And I would go based more on your personal kind of preference. Even if one company is paying more, you might not want to take that offer because maybe you don't like big companies. You don't like to work for a big company. You like kind of the smaller company vibe, the feeling, the ability that, you know, the impact that you can have. And so maybe you want to work for that smaller company, right? I would say they're both kind of great places to be in. If you are focused just on, I mean, you get different experience from different companies. So from larger companies, you're going to get much more kind of figure out the standard way of doing things, the process, how different, you know, large company operates, the right way kind of to do things. Whereas at smaller companies or a startup, you're going to be moving much faster. So you might get a much larger breadth of knowledge, right? And sometimes you might even get more depth of knowledge for certain components because you have to do everything versus at a larger company. Usually there's a team to do this and a team to do that, right? Even within, like, they have a team for DevOps maybe, or they have a team to do something else. So you don't have to touch any of that stuff. Whereas at a startup, you probably have to handle much more of that, those kind of things, right? So I think they're both great places to go. It's kind of a personal choice of like what you prefer about the company and things. Personally, I kind of worked at large companies first. And then I went, you know, now I'm doing my own startup, Levels at FYI. But, you know, people do it differently. The way that I thought about it is I want to have kind of experience at a larger company. And I want to know like how larger companies operate, because every small company, the dream is that small company becomes a larger company one day. And so by learning how the larger company operates, then I can kind of take those learnings to the smaller company and be like, okay, I know how this operates and I know how to take us from, you know, zero to 100 to the larger company scale.
All right. Vishal Mohan is asking how to negotiate salary for 15 plus years experience. So we have already discussed this again, looks like a similar question, but unless you have any special tips for someone with 15 plus experience, we can move on to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, it's largely the same, right? Find out your points of leverage and then use that essentially.
All right. Cool. We have covered most of the question. Omkar Savant has one suggestion. It's not really a question. He wants to do a mock-up for negotiation. So maybe, Zahir, if you have convenience and some time in the future, maybe we'll do some, you know, mock-up negotiation round. That would be a fun experience and some learning. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. Do you have anything else to add? We discussed about resume tips in our last video, and in this video, we are talking about negotiation tips. Any thoughts, any closing remarks?
No, that's kind of it. Thanks for having me on the channel, and good luck to everyone that's going through the process and getting offers and things. And once you get an offer, come back to levels.fyi and contribute your salary information. Mm-hmm. And if you need help negotiating, then happy to discuss as well. And definitely check out our services that we have.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye.